In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is the sixth Sunday of the blessed month, of the blessed season of the Holy 50 days. And on this journey, we went through different stages, and the fathers of our church make a parallel with the journey of the people of Israel, leaving the land of slavery to the promised land, to their freedom. And so when we look at their journey, they needed six things in order to leave the land of slavery, journey through the wilderness, and reach that promised land. Number one, when they were to cross the Red Sea and leave the various things in Egypt, there had to be faith to place their foot on that path of the Red Sea that was split. It needed faith to be sure that God is with them and that the waters would not close on them. As they journeyed in the wilderness and got hungry, they needed food. And so the Lord sent manna from heaven. And as they continued journeying, they got thirsty. And so they received water out of the rock as Moses hit the rock with his rod. Journeying was very hot during the day, so they couldn't journey during the day. They needed to journey at night. And so they needed light. And so the Lord sent light through fire in order to lead the way. And they needed guidance along the way, to know the way, where they should go. And so the Lord provided cloud during the day and fire at night, so that they may know where to go. And finally, before entering the promised land, there was resistance from the people of, or the Amalekites. They resisted them. And yet, when Moses went up and prayed on the mountain and Joshua offered his struggle with the people and fought, they received victory. And this is the same type of journey we're going through during the Holy 50 days. When you look at the way the church prepared our readings, the first week of the Holy 50 days was a week of faith, ending with Thomas Sunday, and the Lord reminding us of the importance of believing. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. The second week of the Holy 50 days, it ends with the Lord telling us that He is the bread of life. And this bread is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. The Lord wishes to provide us the bread of life that allows us to live on forever. The third week, the Samaritan woman, He speaks to us about the living water, the water that He will give us, and we will never thirst. The fourth week, He provides us the light that we need, and He tells us, I am the light of the world. Last week, He reminds us that He is the way, I am the way. And finally today, at the end of the gospel today, He tells us, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He provides us the means for victory. Just like the people of Israel needed victory, we need victory over the various sins, weaknesses, thoughts that we face, encounters that we have with the various sources of evil in our life. And so He provides us this victory, and He reminds us of several things. He says, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. This idea of peace that we lack because of the tribulations that we face, because of the mental warfare that we have, because of the various circumstances that we encounter in life, we find that we sometimes lack that peace. And yet, He also gives us the solution. Just like in order to receive victory in the wilderness, there was Joshua and the people fighting, but it also required Moses on the mountain raising his hands in prayer. And so in our journey in this life, in order to receive victory and to acquire that peace in our life, it requires for us to have these raised hands, to pray. And in the beginning of the gospel this morning, He begins by telling us, in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give you. And so simply to stand before the Lord and to ask Him. And this morning, very briefly, in the next few minutes, I want to meditate with you on a few attitudes we should have in our prayer for our prayers to actually be heard and answered by the Lord. Number one, when I turn to my Lord, I need to realize that He loves me. He says it here that the Father loves you because you have loved me. And so The Father who loves me is one who cares for me, is one who will take care of me. And so my attitude with Him is one of trust. I need to be sure that whatever I ask of Him, especially when it comes to the spiritual life, when it comes to virtues, when it comes to internal warfare, when it comes to acquisition of the means of grace in my life, when it comes to eternal life, when I ask these things of Him, I am sure that He hears me and will give me the means to attain these things. And so I speak to a loving Father, not a vengeful Father. And so even if I have committed sins, I turn to a loving Father who looks upon His child with love, not with disgust. I remember baptizing a child a year or two ago, and the father of the child came up to me and was saying, you know, I think it was his third or fourth child. And he came up to me and he said, you know, one thing I learned, when my kids do something bad and they come to me and they're smiling, I can't resist that smile. And I think to myself, despite all the horrible things that they just did, how cute this kid is. And his meditation was, I can picture God, maybe it's a little, but I mean, God does look at our sin with, a certain firmness. But at the same time, the point that this person was making was, God will look down upon us as a child and think, how cute my child is coming back to me after maybe committing a certain sin, after doing something horrible. He doesn't look at us with a bad... So it's a loving Father, and I trust Him. I trust Him that when I call to Him, He hears me. When I raise my hands to Him, He wants to pick me up. I may have shared this before. One of my friends years ago, when he had his first child, he went to pick up his kid from daycare. The kid was about a year and a half old when he went to pick him up. And so he walked through the doors of the daycare, and the kid ran to the door with his hands raised, crying out, "Daddy, Daddy." He was so happy to see his dad. What does this kid expect raising his hands and saying, "Daddy, Daddy"? He expects his dad to pick him up, to take him with him. The dad doesn't look at the child and say, "Well, it's very nice that you called me Daddy. I'll see you tomorrow." He picks him up. He takes him home. The kid is sure of this. The kid has this trust, has this dependency on the Father, knowing for sure that He will fulfill that request, even if it's simply "Daddy, Daddy." And the Father in heaven expects us to call upon Him this way, "Father, Abba, Father, and here's my request," to trust that He hears me. Abba Isaac the Syrian says, if we have, I'm paraphrasing it because I don't have the quote, but he says that if we have that childlike dependency on our Heavenly Father, it forces His hand to take care of us. And so to have that childlike dependency upon Him and to know that I can trust Him. Second thing, in order to grow in that trust, to recall His promises. The Lord has promised us many things in scriptures through our spiritual fathers. He promised us many things. And so to know His promises and to recall them and say to Him, "Lord, You promised me this." Jacob in the Old Testament did that. Jacob stood before God after spending 20 years with his father-in-law, and he says to him, "You said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." You said, Lord. Why did he say this? Because he was afraid of his brother Esau. In a time of trial, in a time of tribulation, he recalls a promise the Lord made to him. And if we were to ask Jacob, "Jacob, when was this promise made to you?" He would say, 20 years ago, before I even came here. But it's a promise that I kept in my mind and in my heart. And we too, the Lord promises us many things. To keep these promises in our minds and in our hearts, so that when difficulties arise, when a circumstance calls for it, I can call upon Him and say, "You said, Lord, You promised me, Lord. You promised me, Lord, that my sins will be forgiven. I'm full of sins. I struggle with sin. Grant me, O Lord, the spirit of repentance. Grant me, O Lord, the knowledge of forgiveness of sins. You said, Lord, You are my Father. You will never leave me nor forsake me. I feel all alone. I come to You and I linger with You. I cry to You and ask for this fatherhood in my life, to feel and experience Your presence. to call upon Him in this way and to know that He hears me, to recall the promises in this way. A few months ago, after the liturgy, I was in one of the churches in the office sitting with visitors, and the lady was a Russian Orthodox lady. So I asked her, do you want to tour the church? So she said, yeah, I'd love to. So I took her around, and we entered the church. But the point of the story is when I entered the church, I heard a man in the altar crying before God. I didn't listen to his prayer because it's private, but like he was there crying before God inside. He lingered after the liturgy. He stayed behind to speak to his Father, calling upon Him, knowing that the Father has made Him promises. And He's there lingering, telling Him, basically, you promised me this, don't leave me, with tears. Number three, the attitude, yes, of saying, you promised, you said, is not one of entitlement, but one of a son with his Father. And so I should speak to him in humility, not with entitlement, not like he owes me something. Everything he gives me is a grace. Every time he shows me mercy, I don't deserve it. It is mercy. That's what mercy is, something I don't deserve. And so I'm not entitled to anything, but I speak to him in humility, acknowledging who I am and who he is. He is God and I am but dust and ashes. Abraham, when he stood before the Lord interceding on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, indeed, now I who am but dust and ashes, take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. He knows himself. He knows who he is, and he knows who the Lord is. But he also acknowledges the fact that the Lord, loving us, will hear us. And so he trusts him. And so as a son, he calls upon him in humility. And so we too, when we stand before him, we should have that humility in prayer. Not calling him upon something and saying, you owe me this, but rather, you promised me this, and I am your son. Knowing who I am and who he is important in my attitude in prayer. Number four is the Lord answers many of our prayers. Some of them are obvious, big things that we asked for, they were fulfilled. I wanted to get into this college. He granted me the request. I got into that college. I wanted a specific job. I got that job. And these things are obvious in our lives. They may be materialistic things, worldly things, but we notice them, and maybe we give thanks to Him for these things. But the little things as well, the simple things in life, or maybe not even little, major things in our life that we've gotten used to, that we've gotten accustomed to. I come into the church every day to partake of the Eucharist. How often it is I sincerely give thanks to Him for the offering that is on the altar. How often it is I say, thank you, Lord, for offering me your body and your blood for the salvation of my soul and remission of my sins. To really give thanks to Him for the big and the little things in life, for the things that I take for granted, to recognize them and say, thank you, Lord. Maybe I avoided an accident. Maybe He has helped me overcome a certain sin in life. It's not by my effort. Yes, I put in some effort. I struggled. But He gave me the grace to overcome, to thank Him. And so in all things, to give thanks, not just to regurgitate a prayer, but to truly give thanks. Abba Isaac the Syrian reminds us, there is no gift without increase, except that which is without thanksgiving. And finally, the last thing I'll mention is, as we stand in prayer, to sometimes forget ourselves a little bit, and to remember others, to intercede on behalf of others, to pray for others. When the Lord sees that I have my own burdens, I have my own worries, I have my own trials, and I put these aside to pray for the burdens of another, to pray for the trials of another, to pray for the worries of another, He sees this as an act of love. And when the Lord sees love, He bestows the request. He grants the request because He loves. It touches His heart. He loves to see us love one another. Last night in Vespers, He reminded us that the two great commandments are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your strength, sorry. And then the second like it, He reminds us, is to love your neighbor as yourself. And the greatest form of love, I can help my neighbor by showing mercy, by giving a helping hand, by doing all these things, and we should do acts of mercy. But the greatest sign of love is to stand in prayer, to ask Him who is capable of changing all circumstances and the hearts of others, and to beg on behalf of the other, to stand in prayer and love for another. And so when He sees this, not only will He grant my request on behalf of the other, but without even asking for myself, He oftentimes grants my own requests or the desires of my heart without making the request, simply because I offered an act of love. And so, five things very briefly that we looked at today, certain attitudes we can have in prayer. One, that of trust, to know that He is my Father, loves me, and a Father cares for His Son, for His child, and He will answer my prayers. Two, in order to grow in that trust, to recall His promises as Jacob did. You said, Lord, You promised. Three, the attitude in doing this is not one of entitlement, but one of humility, one of a son knowing who he is and who his Father is. Four, to give thanks for the many things that were bestowed to us on a daily basis, and to recognize the little and the big things. And finally, five, to forget yourself a little in prayer and to remember your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself, and the greatest form of love is to pray for another. And to our God be the glory now and ever and unto the ages of the ages. Amen.